In the mid-50s, two men knocked over a kerosene stove during a fight at a concert. After fleeing the blaze, the guitar player realized he left his beloved Gibson inside. B.B. King then ran in and saved it. He later learned that the fight was over a woman named Lucille, and ever since, his guitars have borne that name. You can find Lucille at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
Little Stephen's Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
It's time for your coolest conversations on Little Stephen's Underground Garage, presented by Hard Rock. I'm the Mighty Manfred. Thanks for listening, and please remember to follow and subscribe, rate, and review. My guest is guitarist Ricky B. from NYC. That's Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductee Ricky Bird. His latest album is NYC Made, and it's out on Wicked Cool Records. It features our recent coolest song in the world, Anna Lee. I'll play some of the tune, and that'll be followed by my talk with Ricky on your coolest conversations presented by Hard Rock in Little Stephen's Underground Garage.
Oh, well,
of you, I'm just a prisoner of your memory. Sure do miss you, Anna Lee.
Oh, well,
Other lovers have come and gone. I'm left singing the same old song. Oh, baby, look what you've done to me. I'm your puppet, Anna Lee.
The Mighty Manfred with you here in Little Stephen's Underground Garage, and it's time for our coolest conversations. Today I get to chat with Ricky Bird, a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductee, inducted along with members of Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. He's also known as the Recovery Troubadour, and he's played with a who's list of greats, including Roger Daltrey, Ian Hunter, Paul McCartney, Ringo Starr, Joe Walsh, Alice Cooper, Dion, and many other greats. Got a new album out on Wicked Cool Records titled NYC Made, and it features this week's coolest song in the world, Anna Lee. How are you, Ricky?
I'm doing pretty good, Manfred. We're like two pirate ships passing in the night.
And to that, arr. Hey, congratulations on the new album. Congratulations on NYC Made.
Thank you very much. You know, I'm getting a great reaction, especially, I mean, most people haven't heard the whole thing yet, but Transistor Radio Childhood is I'm getting just the reaction a songwriter would ask for, which is people finding me on social media and writing me saying it brought them back to when they were youngins listening to a transistor radio and when life was a lot more simple.
All right, absolutely. Well, some of the tunes on the album, like Glamdemic Blues, that dates back back to 2023. And I was wondering, have you been working on the album for more than like 2 years? Or did you record some singles and then decide, well, I ought to do an album? What was the thought process for this record?
I think Glamdemic Blues was the first one that I sent to Little Steven. And at that point, it was like, you know, I just did those two rock and roll recovery records. And I said, you know what? I'm done. Let me hold off on some more of that. I've said what I need to say for now. And let me just do a straight up rock and roll record. And I said to Steven, I'd like to do singles like Tommy James in the 60s. I can't see myself doing a whole other record right now. He said, great. So we did Glamdemic Blues. We recorded that. And that obviously I recorded, I wrote it during the lockdown. And I recorded it as soon as we could all be in one room together. And then the second single was Alien. And the third one was the Luann, which does sort of speak to addiction and recovery. That's the only one. If Jerry Lee Lewis was talking about it. And then came the Jeff Beck tribute. So
Rhapsody in Blues.
Rhapsody in Blues, yeah. So the instrumental. So, you know, I'm writing, I'm recording, and all of a sudden I have 14 songs, and I said, Stephen, I think I have an album here. and that's what it was. But yes, it took, I'm going to say a year and a half. I'm horrible with timelines, but between scheduling for me and Bob, it took that long. It wasn't like I was in the studio like 4 months in a row. It was like once every 2 weeks or something. And it took as long as it took.
And when you say Bob, we're talking about Bob Stander, right? That, and you did stuff.
But yeah, Bob Stander is my co-producer on, I've known the guy for decades and decades, but everything since I started my first solo record, Lifer, which you guys played a tune on that one too, in 2013, I think it was.
Yeah.
He's always my co-producer. You know, we go out to his studio, Parcheesi Studios, and we start, we put on our mad scientist hats, and there we go.
And coats? Got white lab coats?
We got, it's none of your business, my friend.
Well, if he doesn't put on a white lab coat, I know he does strap on a bass.
He does. He's a great guitar player. So he plays bass on everything. I mean, I have like a crew, you know, Jeff Kazee, who played with Southside Johnny for 30 years. And that's when I played with Southside for a year. That's how I met Jeff. He plays keyboards on everything. Drummers, we had Tommy Price played on one song. He played on Rock and Roll's Demise Has Been Greatly Exaggerated. Then we had Steve Holly, who played with Wings and Ian Hunter and Joe Cocker. He played on a couple of songs, the earlier one, like the first half of recording. And Aaron Comis played sort of like on the last five or six songs. And Aaron played with the Spin Doctors. He's an original member of the Spin Doctors.
Oh, okay. Well, let's talk for a minute about our coolest song in the world this week, Anna Lee, because you mentioned Jeff playing with Southside Johnny, and you mentioned your earlier album, Life, or one of your recovery albums. And I was reading up on Lifer and on some online blog or review, but in that you mentioned having written Anna Lee with Southside Johnny, and that it just didn't make sense for it to be on that album.
Lifer was not a recovery record. It was the next two.
All right. Okay.
South was great. When I played with him, he came out to he lives obviously the Jersey Shore area, and I'm all the way over here in New York. And he came out to my house a couple of times, and we wrote some songs. In fact, I think the one you had was the coolest song in the world, Things to Learn About Love, was me and Southside, if I'm not mistaken. But this song, I love Anna Lee, and when I play acoustic, I'm always, you know, I always add that song to the list. It just didn't quite fit into the rest of the songs on Lifer. And when we came to the end of this song, of this album, NYC Made, I said to Bob, do we have anything, and I always do this, do we have anything that we recorded that's sitting there? I love to listen to the stuff that's, you know, extra. And it doesn't, because it's extra, doesn't mean it wasn't good enough to make the record. It just, there's a lot of reasons why you don't put it on a record. And he said, well, how about Anna Lee? I said, well, send it to me. And I listened to it and I listened to how we recorded it. And I sent it to Steven Van Zandt, and he got back to me in like a minute and a half and it said, this is on the record. But he said, let's add a couple of things. So there were some drums on there, but only on certain parts later in the song. We added, Aaron played through the whole song. Steven played mandolin. Jeff Kazee played accordion, and we had strings. We had one guy play violin. I mean, I love the song. I was surprised that it's the second, it's the focus track. Not because I don't love it. It's just that it's a real cool. You know, what does it sound like to you? I mean, it's got a very it's soulful vibe.
I was going to say first, what I love about the beginning of the song, it's got this kind of doo-wop intro going on. Whose idea was that?
Oh, that's all me there at the beginning. That back then, I guess I was in a Dion. I had a Dion moment or something. But it turns out with the rest of this record, it fits in the New York frame of mind, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's New York street corner singing at the beginning. And I actually said to Steven, I said, do we want to keep that doo-wop stuff? He said, oh, we got to keep that. That's you know, that's the New York thing we're doing here. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, well, yeah, I know he's definitely a big fan of doo-wop stuff in general, too. You know, he played a lot of doo-wop on the channel.
Yeah, and it's a challenge, you know, when I'm in the studio and there's nobody there to sing but me, it's a challenge to do all those parts. You know, and obviously I have a wide education of all that kind of music, which I sang about in Transistor Radio Childhood. You know, so it's always fun. I love doing backgrounds. I love doing my own backgrounds. And that's another thing Steven said, come up to the Renegade Nation studio for Transistor Radio Childhood and Sweet Bird of Youth. That is some of the backgrounds, all the Beach Boy stuff at the end of Transistor Radio is me, but Steven and Willie Nile, Mark Ribbler, and Jeff Kazee sang all the Baba's on that, which is why in the liner notes, they're the Baba Black Sheep Singers.
That's right. Well, so, you know, you mentioned, we're talking here about Transistor Radio Childhood and the backing vocals, and this other song you just mentioned, Sweet Bird of Youth, also mentions a Transistor Radio in it. So that's another autobiographical tune you got on there, Sweet Bird of Youth.
I think I was just kind of looking, that song is definitely tells my story of growing up and playing in garage bands. And what do I say about, you know, playing joints for drink tickets, right? I'm sure you did that as well back in the day.
Yeah, when drink tickets are offered.
Yeah, exactly. It's better than nothing. But that tells the story of Max's Kansas City. You know, the third, when I talk about seeing that girl in the third booth from the back, that's Max. That's the way the booths were set up. And that was Carol, my wife. That's the first, when I met her in 77.
Oh, really? Oh, well, cool. And I was, yeah, that's really great.
So I think I was just looking back. I think I find, you know, as you get older, you're sort of reminiscing about certain times and where it all started. I don't know what that is. There's a saying in recovery, it's okay to look back, just don't stare.
Well, that's a great turn of phrase.
Yeah.
That should be a song.
Maybe. Could
song
be.
Song idea, at least. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not original. It's been floating around 12-step rooms for decades.
All right. So your tune, Stay Grateful, okay, that works its way into this kind of lust for life groove. Well, when did you guys come, when did you come up with that one?
That was towards the end. That was you know what it's like. You know, you're a songwriter. You say, I'm done. This record is done. And then you sit down with the guitar and you go, well, what's that? They say, that's not a bad riff. Let me see what I could do with this, you know? And that's where Stay Grateful came from. And the lyrics to Stay Grateful was just my, as a politically, you know, mentioned as I get at this stage of my career. You know, I'm talking about the what's going on, the confusion, and no matter what's going on and what life seems like to you, you got to stay grateful. And that's something else I learned in recovery. You know, you look at the stuff that you have, not the stuff that you don't have. And that was the main subject matter of that song. And Steven had some great suggestions about, you know, telephone suggestions about how to mix some of the stuff at the end and some of the parts, which was really cool. I don't know about you. I love getting input, but from a third party.
Well, you know, it's a great idea is always a great idea. You know, it's
well, some artists don't accept criticism or comments. You know, it's like my way or the highway, but I'm open to, you know, I'm open to suggestions. And Steven knew that, like, if it was something I felt strongly about, I'd say, no, I like it like this. And he's like, and his line was, it's your record. but I was good. I love some of the stuff he suggested we did.
Well, what's some of the other things he suggested then?
Well, it's a lot of the stuff was, well, it was the background stuff on Transistor Radio Childhood. And
he was the one that was insistent with, like, hey, you know, you do great job with backing vocals. Let's get some other voices in there, though.
Yeah, well, he said that my background vocals are very neat, which they are, because I'm singing to myself, right? So he said, let's mess them up a bit. And I'm like, sounds good to me, brother. And Anna Lee, actually, at the end, when it breaks down and I sing the hook, he switched something around where I do that kind of soulful, I'm not going to do it now, that soulful shout kind of thing. So that was a good suggestion. Some stuff on Sweet Bird of Youth. There was just like little things here and there I played from. He said, what if you did this here? And did, well, I'll tell you one thing, the Bapas in Transistor Radio Childhood, we went back and forth like, you know, 10 times. I kept saying, aren't they too loud? And he kept saying, they're not loud enough. And we went back and forth a few times.
And how does it sit with you now?
Now I'm used to them. It's fine.
Okay. Okay.
And between me and you, Manfred, keep this to yourself. I might have pulled them back just a hair. He sent me a text. He said, someday, my son, you'll learn to trust me.
Oh, and you do.
I do trust him. Yeah. And I love my record. I really am happy and I'm getting a great response. And some of the stuff people are saying is it brings them back to music that they grew up on. And I'm like, yes, that's what I do. That's why I'm here. You know, I try to carry the torch. You hear all my influences. I wear them on my sleeve, you know, straight up Drunken Sailor rock and roll or glam, some soul music. You know, there's a straight up song on there. Then Along Comes You that closes side one of the vinyl. That's like an Otis Redding tune, right? And Steven actually did the horn charts. He did the horn charts on that one.
Yeah, that's the one that starts off with this kind of arpeggio, and then it's got, you know, it's kind of, well, the tempo picks up, right? Like a
It sure does.
Yeah. Those are the notes I had on that.
Yeah, and he comes in and you know, he did the horn charts, and I have the Uptown Horns on that, who did a lot of work with Joan and the Blackhearts, and I have two of them on this. You know, I wanted that Elvis da da ba ba da ba. I wanted that. It's like, you sure you want that? No, I want that. Like when Elvis walked on stage, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I just love doing that because when I was a kid, 14, you know, 13, 14, 15, listening to music, I loved little surprises, you know, ear candy, Easter eggs, whatever they call them. I like putting little things. In fact, somebody that interviewed me said, did I hear you yell, I saw you? At the end of one of the songs in the fade, I'm like, yeah, I did that. I did that just for you. and what is that? That's from the end of Happy Jack. And you hear Pete Townsend yell.
Yeah.
He sees Keith Moon. I saw you. So I love doing that because I love when people say, did I hear that in there? Or did I? Or at the end of Alien, when I go, if you run into Major Tom, give him our best. You know, I do it for the 10 people who remember Major Tom.
Oh, it's probably more than 10. Hey, I do want to ask you touched on this, I think, a moment ago. You mentioned the song title, Rock and Roll's Demise, has been greatly exaggerated, and that's definitely good news. So tell me about that, the demise. But why has it been greatly exaggerated? What do you see going on that encourages you?
Well, you hear it in the Underground Garage every day, don't you? I mean, you know, there's always, as I sang in that song, and I wrote that with a kind of Who vibe, and Tommy Price is playing on that from my pal from the Blackhearts. I mean, how long have we been hearing like rock is dead? Didn't the Who say that? You know, we've been hearing that rock music is dead. There's aspects of,
well, so since the 50s. I mean, you know, in the 50s.
Yeah, I know,
right.
But now, you know, other musics have sort of switched places a little bit in the big picture, you know, but guaranteed, as I say in the song, there's a band playing in a garage in Sheboygan or something in their garage, in their parents' garage, and they're bashing out sounds and the neighbors are complaining. And that's how rock and roll continues. It's a little bit more difficult to get heard. You know, there's a lot of online stuff radio stuff you could be on, but major, terrestrial radio is more difficult here in the States. I mean, I don't know what it's like outside the States, but you know, thank God for, Underground Garage, right?
Well, yes.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Well, hey, you're talking about banging out songs. I mean, I know you don't have a band put together, but there any plans to do any shows upcoming, even if it's just acoustic?
This is, well, yes. I love playing acoustic. And that comes from me doing my Recovery Troubadour shows that I, not shows really, they're groups.
Yeah.
That I do at treatment facilities around the country, or I was doing them before the pandemic. I'm trying to get back into that. So I love sitting in front of a bunch of people with my acoustic. There's no hiding, bro. You know that. It's just like me and six strings. And I think the challenge would be, I do not have a band. I mean, obviously I could put together a slamming band of friends of mine. But I think the challenge, I don't know if I have it in me to put together a band and go through that again, but I would love to do book a couple of shows with my Red J 200 or something and learn the songs off this record and turn them into acoustic tunes, which is a great challenge.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've played Alien at a gig. I played Annalie, as I mentioned. What else have I played? I haven't tried Transistor Radio Childhood, but I don't think that would be that difficult, except all the vocals, of course. But what I said to Steven, because I think he had asked me the same question, I said to him, if Wicked Cool ever does one of those like Motown reviews where you have this amazing band and then each one of the artists comes up and does two or three songs, put my name on the list. I'm down. You know? But anything other than that, you know, I don't know. I can't say. I never say, you know, what's the saying? You never say never.
Right. Right. And you mentioned again, you know, your work as the Recovery Troubadour, and you've done albums with songs related to recovery issues. I want us to go out with the tune's actually opening track off of NYC Made. You got One Life. And I wanted to ask,
I love that song.
Well, there we go. I'm extra happy that you like it because it is your tune, man.
No, but you know what it's like when you do a record. Sometimes you listen to it and you go, nah, that wasn't so good. But I love everything on the tune so far on the record. And I love that song because it's kind of my sense of humor. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's crunchy guitar chords. It's got the little middle that I'm known for putting in my songs these days, where it's got the cool vocals that go in and out and this and that. So I'm glad you like that one. And it's true, isn't it? We only get one life, bro. So wear it well.
That's exactly right. Does it tie in at all to your recovery work? Do you think that I mean, I think it's a great message. You got one life. However you're living it, but you want to make the most of it. You know, you don't want to.
You don't want to waste any time.
Right.
And a little bit of songwriting. I could have, you know, at first I wrote, you get one life, use it well. And then I said, no, wear it well is better, you know, because you wear life like a loose garment. That's another saying. And as far as if this has anything to do with a recovery, everything I write has to do with something about, you know, gratitude or you know, happy to be alive or, you know, trying to be kind. I mean, I think I say that in Alien or something like that about kindness. I don't know. I guess, yeah, that's a good observation. And I think you're right. You pick up stuff if you do it long enough. And I'm in almost 38 years now. So I don't know. It's hard for me to write stuff that I wrote when I was 19, you know?
Well, all right. Well, you're not living like you're 19. You know what I mean? You've experienced different things and you express those.
And Lord knows it was fun. It was fun. But, you know, at some point, you got to sort of look in the mirror and go, that ain't going to end well, is it?
No. Well, we're ending well right now. And Ricky, I got to thank you for chatting with me again on our Coolest Conversations.
Thank you, brother. I love talking to you, man.
Yeah, love speaking with you as well. We're going to give a listen now. It's the opening track from the new album NYC Made. Ricky Bird with You Get One Life in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Wake up, baby. Open them big brown eyes. 'Cause time is a-wasted. Rise and shine. Pull back the covers. Throw open the shades. It's a beautiful morning. Now seize the day. Hit the streets running and get
at your best, 'cause when your time is over, you'll get plenty of rest. One life, so wear it well. One go out, give them hell. The years, they fly by quickly, and that ain't no lie. You get one life, go on, take it for a ride.
Well, some of his song, You Get One Life, that's Ricky Bird here in Little Steven's Underground Garage. And the track is from Ricky's latest album, NYC Made, on Wicked Cool Records. This is the Matty Manfred, and thanks again to Ricky for talking with me on your Coolest Conversations. Thanks also to Sammy Semenza and Kurt Baker for producing and editing our podcast. The Ravagers from Baltimore, Maryland. They've got a new album out on Spaghetti Town Records called On the Loose. And joining me to tell us all about it is their lead singer and rhythm guitar player, Alex Hagen. He's my guest for our next Coolest Conversations, presented by Hard Rock and Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Buddy, you're a boy. Make a big noise playing in the street. I'm gonna be a big man someday. You got mud on your face, you big disgrace. Kicking your can all over the place.
Some things are better when they rock. The Seminole Hard Rock Hotels and Casinos rock around the clock with nonstop casino action, rooms fit for the king, pools, spas, restaurants, and clubs for every taste and temptation. Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Tampa or Hollywood, Florida. We will rock you.